Hello, and welcome to the Mindful Teacher K-12 podcast. My name is April Hughes, and I am the Mindful Teacher. My goal for starting this podcast really was to provide a way for teachers to have access to readily available activities and strategies that they could implement into their daily lives and into their classroom easily and quickly without any need for research or investigation. I am a certified yoga teacher, and through that experience and through my experience of being in the classroom for 18 years, I have discovered a plethora of strategies to help with my classroom management and help manage my own stress and to promote overall wellness within my classroom to my students, and to do that effectively and efficiently in a way that builds community. So this season, in season two, my goal is to give a takeaway strategy for teachers to easily implement into their lives and into their classrooms so that they can be happy and healthy and stay sane one podcast at a time. Everyone, and welcome to the Mindful Teacher K-12's first episode of 2020. I'm really excited to start off this new decade with my listeners. And today my topic is going to be centered around perseverance. And there's several reasons that I chose to talk about this topic right now, mainly because my father passed away on Saturday. And if you've lost a parent or a loved one, you know how difficult it is to deal with that and then juggle life and then go back to school and try to do your job and be emotionally present for your students. And it's just a really difficult time. But I really enjoy recording my podcast, and I always feel like it's almost therapeutical in nature for me. So I should probably do it more, but I really have some good nuggets of advice and information for this episode today. And I was really inspired today by Rachel Hollis's book, Girl, Wash Your Face. And so if you haven't read it, you should read it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today because it resonated so deeply with me in this kind of crisis mode that I'm in right now. So there's many reasons aside from my father's death that I decided to talk about this today. The topic of perseverance is really important to drill down and remind teachers of their ability to persevere when things feel like they're never going to get better, because we're moving into the month of February, and February historically is really tough for teachers, probably the second toughest month besides October. And some teachers will say it's even tougher than October, but there definitely is research that says in the month of February, teacher morale goes way down. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but it's important to remind ourselves that we can persevere through tough times. And another reason I pick this topic is because I'm currently reading Unbroken, the young adult version, with my sixth grader honors class. And that is one of the themes in that book. And I really feel like it resonates with me when I'm reading it with students. Students really get it. It's just, I love it. I love that book. And I love the idea of perseverance. The third reason why I picked this theme for the podcast is recently at a professional development that was done at my school, we were asked to identify like two core principles that define us, and perseverance was one that I picked. And I really think through my whole life, I've had a lot of ups and downs and hard things. And perseverance is what really made me get where I am today. And we like to talk a lot about student grit, which is kind of the same thing, I think. But, you know, teachers need grit too, and teachers need perseverance just as much as students do. And it's not easy to get. So during my phase of mourning for my father, obviously I'm still there, but the first thing that I did was I went to the library in my office and I scanned through my books and I thought, what do I need to read to reassure myself that I am going to be okay? And I was just kind of looking and I grabbed Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis, which I love her. And I love everything that she does and represents for entrepreneurs and for women. And she definitely knows how to persevere. So I was looking at chapter 15. And if you're familiar with this book or if you're not familiar with the book, she goes through each chapter and talks about like the lie that she tells herself. And this one is, I will never get past this. And this one starts off by talking about her family and the trauma that she endured as a teenager. She essentially found her brother after he had committed suicide, and she was the first one to find him. And we all know that that is a game changer if you've experienced something like that. Or even if you haven't, that is something that'll stay with you forever. So she talked about how she dealt with this throughout her life and how she continues to deal with it because it's something that just will never go away. And I highlighted a few parts in the book, and she refers to Tony Robbins' documentary, I'm Not Your Guru. And he said, if you're going to blame your hard times for all the things that are wrong in your life, you better also blame them for the good stuff too. And I highlighted this and it resonated with me because it's true that we get so wrapped up in thinking about the negative that we forget to focus on the positive. And so I kind of looked at this like, with my father, he lived with me for the last 3 years of his life because of his health and the fact that financially it was, much easier for me to help him that way than any other way. So anyway, I love that because I think that we really always miss as adults the silver lining. What is the silver lining in this situation? And, you know, with my father, that's the silver lining. I really got to spend the last 3 years of his life with him. And so did my kids. And they really got to know their grandfather in ways that they would have never been able to understand before. And it was a great experience. And I'm happy that that happened. So the other part that I highlighted out of this book is when she says on page 156, but I recognize now that if you don't look for the good that came out of what you've lived through, it's all wasted. So that had to sit with me for a while. And I realized, yeah, that is true. It's all a waste unless we're really going to look at what good came out of death or what good came out of a trauma or whatever you're dealing with in your life. And she goes on to say, pain and trauma are a violent whirlpool, and they will drag you under if you don't battle to stay afloat. There will be times, especially in the beginning, when it will take everything within you to keep your head above those waves. But you must keep your head above the waves. It's so difficult, but you are tough. Even if you don't feel it at the time, the very fact that you're still breathing in and out means you're fighting back against the tide that wants to sweep you away. Don't let it. After a while, I promise, it will become easier to tread water. And finally, you'll learn to swim against the current. And the last thing she says in the chapter is, I used to naively say that everything happens for a reason, but that was only because I hadn't yet lived through something horrific enough to bring that statement into question. I don't believe everything happens for a specific reason, but I do believe it's possible to find purpose, even in the absence of explanation. So I thought, wow, because I'm one that would say, like, I kind of go with that motto of everything happens for a reason. And there's times where I've definitely questioned that. And I've gone back and said, like, why did I do that? Or why did I not do that? And I wish I wouldn't have done that. And that really is kind of a downward spiral, like a rabbit hole that you're never going to come out of. So a way to turn this around is to say, you know, it is possible to find purpose in everything, even if there's no explanation for it. So I think that's true. And it's even true when we think about our students. Our students experience all kinds of trauma that either we know about or we don't know about. And how do we get them to persevere in times of crisis? How can we model behavior that would help them with this? And believe me, if we don't model this type of behavior with them, nobody else is going to. So we need to do the work ourselves, and we need to be willing to talk about these hard topics with students. You know, I was very open with my students about the passing of my father, and that's because I believe that I've created a safe enough culture that I could do that. And it's important to me that my students understand if I'm gone for a day, why I'm gone for a day. I'm not out shopping or, you know, whatever. You know, there's a reason I was gone, and I'm going to be honest with them if I can, within the limits of, you know, confidentiality and all those other things. But I also let it be an opportunity for me to talk to students about perseverance and about how, as a community, when something difficult happens, and this was very difficult for me, that I did get a lot of texts and I got a lot of emails and I got phone calls and some flowers. And you know what? The most impactful thing that happened to me is when I went back to work and I got hugs. And they weren't, you know, these little pats. I mean, they were real hugs. And that made me feel better than all the other things that were done. And I'm not a hugger. I mean, I do yoga. I love to meditate. Hugging is a hard thing for me. And it's been one of those things where it's kind of like, yeah, not really. But the hugs really helped me. So I talked about that with my students on how it was nice that the other teachers in my building gave me hugs and how powerful something as simple as a hug can be to somebody that's having a really tough day. So I think that overall, as we move together into the month of February, where we know things are going to be tough and we're going to have to persevere through several different things, that I want to remind everybody that, number one, it's okay to feel vulnerable. I'm one that does not like to feel vulnerable. I don't like to, you know, put myself out there. I'm not a crier. I'm not a hugger. I don't know why. It's probably because of some weird trauma from my childhood, but that's neither here nor there. But I've learned how reassuring those things can be. And I've trained myself that I need to open up myself to the possibility of the fact that hugs are okay, and, you know, being vulnerable and crying is okay. And recently I just finished a Brené Brown book. I think it's Into the Wilderness, where she talks about the fact that we, as a whole world of individuals and human beings, need to learn how to cry together. We need to learn how to sit and look at somebody and really, you know, be okay with the fact that they're crying and they're struggling. And typically this is when I'm like, I'm out. I don't want to cry with you. I'll do that in the privacy of my own home. I'll wait till I get in my car. But lately, in this last week, I just have realized, like, sometimes I just need to shed a few tears, and that's where I'm at right now. So I think that talking about grit and talking about perseverance with your students is super important, but I also believe that it's really important for you to remind yourself that you have grit, you have perseverance, and as Rachel Hollis says, like when she says, I will never get past this, that's the lie she told herself. And she did get past it. And not only did she do that, she persevered. And she persevered in a big way. So her takeaway at the end of this chapter is things that helped me. And she said, going to therapy. And I totally ditto that. I think therapy is really important. Because we can have therapy with our friends over wine. We can vent to our fellow teachers, and we can vent to our husbands or our wives or our most important individual, but it's not the same as going to therapy. And then she says talking about it. So she says talking about it, not just with your therapist, but somebody that you can truly trust. And then this is the third one she says, which is really hard for me. And it might be hard for you if your instant reaction is like, no, because that was mine, is making yourself think about it. So she said, once an extremely wise therapist suggested I set a timer every day for 5 minutes, then force myself to remember it, meaning her brother's suicide, in detail until the timer went off. She goes on to say she thought this whole thing was insane. And she said, it turns out there was something about knowing I would think of it later at an appointed time that allowed my brain the peace of not playing it on a loop. It also meant that I felt in control of my thoughts again. I am so grateful for this wisdom, and I've given it to fellow trauma survivors over and over. I even wrote it in my fictional book, Sweet Girl, as the advice Max gets from her best friend. You really do just need to write what you know. And so I encourage you, if you haven't picked up this book, Girl, Wash Your Face, to do that or download it on audiobook. I'm not currently getting endorsed by Rachel Hollis, but she's on my bucket list of people I would love to meet and definitely go to one of her conventions one of these days. So she is very honest and transparent and real. And I think that's why people connect with her. And I think that's why I connect with her. And so wrapping this whole thing up, I want to encourage you to think about and journal about ways that you can persevere, because you know that hard things are coming. it's a no-brainer. I'm not saying you're absolutely going to endure some horrific trauma, but just coming into the month of February, we all know that we need to have grit, we need to have patience, and we need to make sure that we know that we have the power to persevere when hard things come up, because they're going to come up. It's inevitable. And I will do another podcast in February with a different theme, because everyone needs support during this tough time. And I really appreciate all the listener support. Again, if you like listening to my podcast, please share it with your friends. Make sure that you subscribe on the platform that you listen to, whether that's Apple or Spotify, and then consider making a small donation to my website in support of my website and spread the word. I need some new sponsors. So until next time, be mindful, be patient, and be kind. Peace out. This is April Hughes. So thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Mindful Teacher K-12. I really would appreciate if you make sure to hit subscribe on whichever platform you are choosing to listen to your podcast. I also will remind you to visit my website, www.themindfulteacherk-12.com. And follow me on Facebook or on Instagram at The Mindful Teacher K-12. And as always, please make sure that you're sending in any messages that you feel are important to the podcast. I love to hear from my listeners so I can incorporate them into the next podcast. And make sure to share this podcast with all of your friends. Peace, April.